on this podcast. So speaking of podcasts, this is Cinema Chop Shop. Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast where we concede, we give the concession that remakes are going to happen. Even though they shouldn't, they still are. So why shouldn't movie buffs like us decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is Travis. I'm going to go with Trashy Travis for today's episode. And Sean, you're going schlock again. It's schlock Sean. And then this one's mean.
Don't say it then.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to, but it was the only H I could come up with. We're doing John Waters.
A whole movie that starts with the letter H.
Hairspray Hillary. Hairspray Hillary. I'll edit out the hatchet face part. Yes.
Her hair is teased up big today.
We're doing John Waters in honor of Pink Flamingo Day, June 23rd, which I actually looked into, and it has nothing to do with John Waters. It's more a celebration of the very kitsch, very tchotchke lawn ornaments.
You legitimately think they were related?
I thought so. But in a way, it is.
What country are you living in that we have a day celebrating pink flamingos?
Well, here's the thing. John Waters named the movie Pink Flamingos in a celebration of tackiness and in a celebration of
the kitschiness.
Yeah, the kitschiness. Right? And I think that the holiday is also in celebration of said kitschy, campy, schlocky.
Yeah.
Right? So that's... But it's also a perfectly good reason for us to do a John Waters episode. We hoped to have Joey Poole on the show today. He's not here, but we do have two additional panelists. My co-host, Schlock Sean. We already did that, didn't we?
Yeah, we already did.
All right, so a further description of the show. By the way, guys, I don't have my program outlined with me, so I'm kind of improvising just a touch. Further description of the show. The tagline at the top, it says, watch, chop, retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies. Sometimes they're masterpieces of cinema. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're real roadkill. And then we retrofit them. And what we mean by that is that we tweak the design with new parts, a.k.a. contemporary actors. So, that will bring us to our first segment today. It is our Midnight Double Feature, which tied in really well to the Grindhouse theme, and it ties in a little bit to John Waters because of, like, the sleaze element, right?
Yeah. No, we don't have an energy drink check.
No energy drink.
We're jumping right into the beer.
What do we got?
Well, I couldn't find a true John Waters beer, so I'm going
to Baltimore?
No, I was going to look for some Baltimore beers, but I didn't see any that I wanted to buy. So I went with Westbrook's Key Lime Goza, because key limes are from Florida. Pink flamingos are from Florida.
That's true.
So that's the best you're getting out of it.
So we did a recent Westbrook Goza on the show, but it wasn't this one. It was
a lemon cucumber and lemon Hillary cucumber. Hated it.
Yes. Wow. This, you might like this, though, so try it.
What is this one?
Key Lime.
So the energy drink check-in is being preempted by a beer check-in. We've got the Westbrook out of Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, Charleston area. And I will definitely enjoy this. So we had a very good response on the smoked goes today at the brewery.
Oh, good.
The Cinder and Sea.
It's a polarizing beer.
Well, the polarization was in favor of the Cinder and Sea today. It's a smoked goes.
Yeah, my friend from Charleston tried it, and she really liked the smoked goes.
Yeah. Shout out to those guys. What it
tell Anna us. And Miles. Thank you for coming down to Florence today. If you're listening.
So, who wants to go first with their Midnight Double Feature? We got a John Waters theme double feature coming up. All right, do it. Hillary's up. My sister from another mista.
Like two of, I think, the most essential
Okay.
Probably well-rounded and enjoyable for everybody.
Yes.
John Waters movies. 1988's Hairspray.
Uh-huh.
98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Stellar cast. Sonny Bono, Jerry Stiller, Divine, Mink Stoll, Ricky Lake. Who else? Debbie Harry.
Rick Ocasek played a beatnik in this.
Yeah,
in the
immediate description, it seems to me that Sean might have had a overlapping pick on this one.
Well,
I considered it. Yeah.
Okay, you shopped it.
Yeah, it's a great movie, and it's been remade, and it's been performed live on network.
In the remake, didn't John Travolta play the role of Ricky Lake?
He played
Divine's character.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the mother of Tracy Turnbull.
All right. So you're going Hairspray for the first one.
And then I'm going 1994's. This is his 90s movie, the classic Serial Mom.
Serial Mom is so good.
It got 61% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it's still, that's kind of one of those.
For me, it's one of my favorites of his movies because it's easier for me to take than some of the more controversial stuff. Yes,
than Pink Flamingos or Female Trouble or even Multiple Maniacs. It's just these are two that I think that appeal to broader audiences. So if you haven't seen a John Waters movie, one of these would be the one to check out.
And I kind of went with a similar approach with mine. I'm glad that you didn't pick the two that I picked.
Okay.
So I actually went with Pink Flamingos.
And the hard to swallow one.
And Polyester.
Polyester.
Because they're almost back-to-back, and they're some of his highest-rated movies, and I think that they're kind of quintessential.
Are kind of like Sean, I would say.
Arbitrary.
Was talking about with the Grindhouse films last week. Come on. What did Multiple Maniacs have?
100%.
And it's a terrible movie.
And it was John Waters' mother? Come on.
It was his mom.
Pink Flamingos is the embodiment of what a lot of his early work was into, like, that color, the more production value kind of brought to life with the people he'd been working with for a long time. So it's an important one, but it's not the easiest one to watch.
Yeah, it's messed up. It's got an NC-17 rating.
Yes, a lot of his movies.
They didn't get the R. They couldn't quite get that R. All right, Sean, tell us about your double feature.
Mine got picked over, so I'm going to adjust mine on the fly.
Oh, really? Did we get both of yours?
I was going to go with Hairspray and Serial Mom as well, but I will also throw in Pecker from 1998 with Edward Furlong.
John Connor.
Man, he had such a future.
I think heroin happened.
Christina Ricci was in that as well.
Yeah, what happened to her? No, Christina Ricci is still doing it, and love her.
And Martha Plimpton's in it. Of course, Meek Stoll's in it, as she is in almost everything of his.
Martha Plimpton from Goonies?
She's been in every single one of his movies.
That's funny. And then I also watched earlier this week Cecil B. Demented.
Mm-hmm. Cecil B. Demented.
Which I would say has the least amount of John Waters flavor to it.
Yeah, I don't even think about that.
I mean, the name itself implies a satire or a farce of cinema.
Well, I had high expectations kind of.
It could have been a great movie, but I don't know, just something about it. I mean, Melanie Griffith as your lead actress kind of didn't sit well with me anyway.
Yeah.
But, those are my two since my others got cherry picked.
Very good. Very good. All right. So after the midnight double feature, normally what we do is get into the Department of Corrections Department. And we've got a correction from one of our listeners.
Yeah, it's a minor one. It's a pronunciation correction. Dana said that you, Travis, you recast in one of the Grindhouse films You pronounced it Aisling Franciosi.
Okay.
I think that she says that the first name is pronounced Ashling.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's good to know. Thank you, Dana. And we do appreciate your input and keep them coming.
Yeah. It's like keep another Saoirse Ronan situation.
It's a real, I called her Suarez. Sure. I called her Suarez Ronan. Yeah. Thank you, Dana. And that will close the doors on the Department of Corrections Department for this week. I will probably say some shit this weekend, that will need to be corrected. All right. So after that, we get into our feature segment, which is the recast. And this title has already come up a little bit because it's awful. It's really hard. It was shot in 16mm, first of all, and black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean, you had some comments on the acting quality.
Well, just my question was it intentionally bad? And if it was intentionally bad, then
they did a really good job.
They did a great job because you had actors flubbing their lines on camera and then keeping the cut.
I think that's intentionally bad. I think it's the way
that's kind of his thing, right? His MO.
It was their thing. They had, you know, at the time the Dreamlanders were kind of in their heyday, if you will, kind of really getting together, and yeah, it's like. You know, it's a black comedy. It's supposed to be, you know, shocking.
So give us the
torture, the like.
Give us a breakdown of the premise, like the very basic premise of the film.
I don't know how you can explain this movie. There's a lady. There's a woman, and she works at a
freak show. It's a freak show of perversions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's really a front to shake people down at the end of the show for their money.
And she is having an affair with, or has a lover there at the freak show, right? And then she lives with her daughter, who has a boyfriend. And then,
at some point, there's a lobster.
She meets a woman that lobstra. What is it?
Yeah. Lobstrosity.
Lobstra. I don't know how you pronounce it, but. She kind of starts wanting to do more than just shake people down. She wants to kill them. She wants to start going extreme, and then she has an affair with this woman, and then they decide they're going to kill her lover, who's already taken up another lover, and it becomes kind of this, like, battle to, you know, for this, and then she's so paranoid. Just everyone's getting...
I think that maybe she should have listened to a Paul Simon song called 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. And so that there was only one way that she explored, which was murder.
Yeah.
And there's 49 other ways.
But that was what they were going for, was the murder, some of the getting raped by the lobster, like...
Yeah.
The whatever's happening in that church scene... like it's done for shock.
It's all shock and tackiness.
It's tackiness. It's not, you know, done gracefully.
So once again, we're talking about Multiple Maniacs. It came out in 1970, directed by John Waters, of course, and it has a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, which we feel is kind of biased, right? Because of his status as like a cult filmmaker. And it being like his first feature, like his first real feature film. But we've got 1, 2, 3 roles that we're going to recast.
We have 3 roles.
Yeah, we've got Divine. We've got Divine, who was only 25 at the time that this movie was made. Yeah, and Divine is playing the role of Lady Divine. And then we also have... David Lockery. David Lockery, we should mention, was a huge influence on John Waters and Divine for that matter.
Yeah, he did Divine's makeup.
Divine later said that she had never heard the word drag until David Lockery, informed her about that. And also... he basically spun out of control later, which is why he isn't in a bunch of the later John Waters movies.
He died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
he left for a while to go to New York, came back to do, I believe, Female Trouble, or
I think Female Trouble is the one that he isn't in.
He came back, I think, to New York and then died, yeah, kind of tragically.
From drugs.
Well, he was on PCP and fell on a piece of glass. And
well, that's the story. That's the story. But there's also like speculation that that's not what really happened.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I heard that it was his blue hair that killed him. Then we finally, the third actor that we're going to recast is Mink Stoll as Mink. Oh, I should have mentioned that David Lockery's character is Mr. David. All right, so who wants to go first with their divine?
I don't know.
Who?
I want to go first with Mr. David. So okay. Somebody else take this one.
I don't mind going first for... Lady Divine. I went with a real drag queen. She's not really an actress, though, so you probably
that's
aren't
okay
going to know her. Her name is Eureka O'Hara.
Okay.
I've got a picture here for you, though. So at least you guys can see. She's got the big body, the big personality, the... just
vivaciousness.
The presence that Divine brings whenever she's on her screen, on the screen, saying her terrible lines, often, you know, not making any sense in a way. But this is Eureka.
Okay, yeah, I can totally see it. Especially the eye makeup.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah.
The eye makeup is very Divine.
She can paint herself to look like a beautiful version of Divine, too.
Gotcha.
So, it's in her wheelhouse to actually play Divine. That was my Divine picture.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's a good pick. So once again, we are on Multiple Maniacs, and I'll go with my pick. This is somebody that Hillary will know very well because he's recently become a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race. He's not necessarily a drag queen, but he is openly gay.
Ross
Matthews is going to be my, is going to be my divine. And I think that even though, and it, we should point out that not all drag queens are gay and not all gay people are drag queens, but I think he would welcome the chance to play
someone else
Lady Divine.
Makeup, he would try, but he is a little higher pitch than Divine.
Okay.
But
like in terms of his voice?
Voice wise, yes. But I love it. He's also got a lot of fun energy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he cracks
me. Cool. Tight.
All right, so I went with somebody who has been in John Waters films before by way of remakes. This guy has rumors about his sexuality, and he has played in drag in multiple films.
Is it Nuns on the Run?
No, it's okay. Not. But you'll know him better as... many things, but one of the kings of Scientology, Mr. Vincent Vega himself, John Travolta.
Travolta!
So as Hillary mentioned, he played Edna Turnblad in the Hairspray remake,
mm-hmm,
which was played by Divine.
Also, John Travolta is in Grease, which another of our movies tonight is kind of a send-up of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Very nice. So.
All right, so let me go next.
All right, so Sean's going to go first with his Mr. David,
right,
originally portrayed by David Lockery, who was 26 at the time.
Yeah, so the whole time I'm watching the movie, I'm thinking, wow, he looks like Nicolas Cage.
Okay.
He really does. And I was like, well, Nicolas Cage could do it because when he, like in Con Air, when he did that really bad Southern accent.
Yeah.
Yes.
I could see him doing it.
Yeah.
But then by the end of the movie, it hit me, and I said, no, this guy needs to play this role. And I found out that he was in the live version of Hairspray on broadcast television. But everyone knows him as Billy on the Street. It's Billy Eichner.
Billy Eichner's great.
Billy Eichner would make an excellent
recently role. A judge on...
Oh, was he on the
Was he?
Judge on RuPaul a few weeks ago.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to go next with my David Lockery. And first I want to say that his character, the motif of his character in most of his appearances in John Waters films was that of a sophisticated pervert, which is something I can respect. And so my pick is Sacha Baron Cohen. All day.
Oh my God.
He's a bit older.
He works too for this one.
Yeah, so he's 20 years older than David Lockery was at the time. However, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. He's great. And I almost picked his actual wife for a different role, but I didn't. Okay. So,
who do you have, Hillary?
All right, so this is the picture I was using.
Mm-hmm.
I went with an open, out, pretty well-respected actor. He's been in three Oscar-nominated movies, Dallas Buyers Club, Milk, Michael Clayton. He was in Garden State, American Horror Story, mm-hmm. and Dennis O'Hare.
Dennis O'Hare?
Yes.
Huh. Oh yeah, that guy. He's definitely, I know him from American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Yep. And
True Blood.
True Blood. Yeah.
True Blood. Sorry, how did I forget about True Blood? He's
really good.
He was the best thing about that show.
He was really good in Modern Family. This Is Us.
Yeah.
And Modern.
He's a good actor. Mm-hmm. He's a Tony winning actor, actually. He did a lot of Broadway in the 80s. So, I think he would be down too.
I think he would. I agree.
Respects the culture.
All right, so we've got one more, right? We've got one more role to recast in Multiple Maniacs, and it's the role of Mink Stole, who's one of the more enigmatic John Waters Dreamlanders.
Yes.
And she's still at it. She's still making appearances. She does Q&As after, like, public performances and things like that. Mink Stole was 23 at the time, and she played a character named Mink. And so I would like Hillary to go first with her Mink Stole.
Okay, well, I just did another drag queen who I think could play it. It's Bianca Del Rio. She is a little bit more famous. She's known for her comedy.
Banaka.
Two movies come out. Hurricane Bianca. She's hilarious. She might be a little bit more than Mink.
Okay. She's a little extra.
She's a drag queen. She's extra. But she can act.
Gotcha.
And yeah.
You're staying on type with your picks, and I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Definitely got a theme.
Sean.
All right. So I was going with age appropriate because Mink was really young.
Yeah, she was 23 at the time. 23,
yeah. So I'm going with another 23-year-old who was in a movie I raved about just recently on my movie marathon. She was in Bobcat Goldthwait's directed film, God Bless America.
Oh, nice.
Chloe, the unhinged girl who went along with the serial killer. And it's Maddie Hassan. She's all grown up now. She's all grown up. And she's been in a lot of TV series since that movie. But mostly television, not a lot of film. But I liked her in that, and I think she could pull it off.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right, so I've got my pick to go for Mink Stole's, and so does... So, no, Hillary already gave us hers. My pick is somebody who I really liked on the... First of all, she was on the Aziz Ansari show, Master of None.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also got a directorial debut, and she stars in it, called Mr. Roosevelt. And her name is Noelle Wells. And she's great. She's got, like, quirkiness, and I think she could have fun with the role.
I'm trying to think what else she's
doing. Any thoughts? Hillary, you look like you have thoughts, Hillary.
Surprisingly, I don't.
what's her last name?
Wells. Noelle Wells.
I think that's a good pick. I honestly did not see that third name. So.
Oh, you didn't pick a... You didn't pick a...
I kind of have,
you picked it on the fly. Gotcha.
I did it on the fly, but I like that because Mink was one of his close friends and really should...
And was there from the beginning.
Yeah. Her and, like I said, Vivian, what was her name? Mary Vivian Pierce were the ones that were...
A.K.A. Ice Pick. All the people have funny names. All right, Sean, you got something for us?
I was just looking at Noelle Wells.
Okay.
She looks familiar, but I can't place...
Yeah, well, Master of None and Mr. Roosevelt are two of her things.
I've seen neither of those.
Yeah, me either, so...
They're both really good.
She does look familiar, so let's you figure that out.
So all right, cool.
What are we doing next?
We'll figure that out during the intermission.
I think that next we go into intermission, but first we have to do a little...
we have to sing.
A little jingle. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves some snacks. And then I hit stop. All right, Cinema Chop Shoppers, this is your host, Travis, just chiming in here at intermission to remind you about our online presence. We are on Facebook. We're facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We post things about upcoming episodes as well as the Chop Shopper Challenge, where you, the listeners, can pick some roles to recast yourselves. We're also on Twitter. We do some similar things on there, the Chop Shopper Challenge check-ins. We are at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. If you ever want to comment on the show, that would be a good place to do it, as well as our email address. We are cinemachopshop@gmail.com, and we take suggestions for future episodes and any sort of commentary on the show. If you have corrections, if you notice some things that I say that might not necessarily be true, please let us know about that, because we do, the Department of Corrections Department. Once again, thank you, the listeners, for bearing with us during the intermission, and thank you for listening to the show. Remember, you can rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, or like us on whatever platform it is that you listen to your podcasts. And also, please remember to watch, shop, retrofit.
Skip it.
So, you know on Edisto, where you're crossing Jeffries Creek, there's a bridge there.
Yes.
And this asshole put up InfoWars stickers on the bridge, like on the end of the guardrail. InfoWars is a TV show with Alex Jones. And I took umbrage with that. So, about a month ago, I went in with a big-ass Sharpie, like the biggest Sharpie you can find, and I like struck it out, right? Strike that shit out. And the sun just like burned through the Sharpie.
Wow.
Like in a matter of a month.
So you had to do it again?
So today, I went full gorilla style and I put a strip of Hello Kitty duct tape over the InfoWars stickers. Not on one end, but on both ends of the bridge. I'm pretty happy about it. Did you also get where I said I took umbrage with it?
With the bridge.
Yes. No. All right. So welcome back, Cinema Chop Shoppers, from the break, from the intermission. We all went to the lobby. We all got some snacks. And when we come back from the break, we like to do the beer check-in, right?
Yes.
And so what are we checking in first, Sean?
Well, right now we're drinking Enjoy By 070418 from Stone. It's their unfiltered IPA.
Okay.
And it's part of their series they've been doing for quite some time of releasing beers that are basically have an Enjoy By date.
Yeah.
It's very imminent.
They give a shelf life on those beers.
There it is.
You're so good looking.
Yeah, I was working on that. Anyway, this is 9.4%.
Oh, nice.
But it has a great quote on the back of the can from Mark Twain. It says, patriotism is supporting your country all the time and your government when it deserves it.
Oh.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, very, very prescient.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a picture of that.
Speaking of prescient, one of my movie marathon check-ins is prescient.
All right. So speaking of, the movie marathon is what we're about to get into, right?
Yeah.
Sean, you're so far ahead of me. You're in the 250s.
Yeah, I'm at 257.
Jesus Christ, man.
I know.
I mean, sorry, Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to call the next New England IPA. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christos.
All right, so give me your...
I'm going to mention number 254 for me, The Layover. From 2017, it was directed by William H. Macy. And it's got a zero on Rotten Tomatoes. And as much as I like William H. Macy, I think that maybe acting is his strong suit. But
I mean, he's great on that Showtime show.
Right.
What is it?
Shameless.
Shameless.
He's great.
I shamelessly did not remember the name of that show.
But
and you shamelessly just made that joke.
I thought 0% was a little harsh. I thought it was more like a 20%. It's got Alexandra Daddario.
Oh.
Yes.
My lady.
That's why I started watching.
Yes.
It also has Kate Upton in it, which I made a comment to Travis on Twitter that maybe you should reconsider casting her for your recast that you did a few weeks ago.
What was the role I recast her in?
I don't know.
It was as the sex explorer.
Oh. Oh.
Yes.
It was, she was perfectly cast.
Yeah, she wasn't that great in this movie. Yeah, it was a road film, and you know, two best friends vying for the affections or attentions of a guy they met on a layover from a canceled flight because of weather. All right, you're up.
All right, so I have not seen as many movies as you have recently.
Well, let's just talk about Hereditary again.
Hereditary was so good.
Folks, you gotta see Hereditary.
It's insane. Toni Collette, like I mentioned last week, unhinged. And I don't mean that just in terms of her performance. Her jaw literally becomes unhinged.
She's so good, though.
She's great.
She was reaching back to, like, United States of Terror type stuff in this film.
I loved her in that The Velvet Goldmine, I think we mentioned previously.
Yeah.
She wasn't the most likable character, but I think she kind of nailed that.
All right, so I do actually have some check-ins.
Go for it.
The first one that I'm going to check in is number 239, which gives you an idea of how far behind the Brew Boss I actually am in this marathon. But it's a classic that I've never seen. I've heard about it many times, and it was actually like vehemently recommended to me by Tex.
Oh, cool.
Former guest Tex, who was on our wrestling episode. It's a movie called Network.
Oh, yeah.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Which is the line that most people know from that movie. That's the clip that I was aware of. And I thought that maybe it was just one scene.
No,
it's not. They repeat it as a motif. Throughout the film.
Yeah, it becomes like a almost like cult status.
Yes, like a mantra. And so my official review, ashamed that I've never seen this. Incredible cast, amazing performances, and a plot that still rings true, which is absolutely true. It was kind of a it was 1976. It was kind of a premonition of the reality TV culture and the like exploitive television culture that we have right now. All right, Sean, you're up.
Well, hot on the heels of that and talking about prescient movies, I watched Machete from 2010.
Machete.
I'd never seen it.
Danny Trejo.
Yeah, Trejo's awesome. Little cute little Jessica Alba in there.
Oh yeah.
But,
I have a story about Machete, and I might have told it on this podcast before, but I went to see that, I can say his name because he's never going to get the internet, my buddy John Wallace. Me and my buddy John Wallace went to see this movie together, and at the beginning of the third act, he realized that the movie was pro-immigration, and he walked out.
Nice.
I was like, buddy. No, he's like, I'm gone.
Well, my description, I said, I'm pretty sure Trump stole his border wall plan from this movie.
Yep.
I mean, it's pretty much word for word as well as how they were profiteering from the bar, the idea of the border wall.
Who was all blue eyes in that? What's his name? The blue eyed.
Yeah. Matthew McConaughey. Hey.
No, let's see. De Niro's in it, and so is Don Johnson. He's the sheriff.
Don Johnson,
yeah,
with the blue eyes.
Yeah, he's.
his eyes really popped in the movies.
All right, Don Johnson.
Yeah.
So my next one, my next check-in. This is one that I watched while away on business. My lovely wife Michelle and I were away on professional development in the Lowcountry, and she had some homework to do because she's working on her second master's degree, and I was trying to get out of her hair. So I looked up which movie theaters would accept MoviePass in the area, and I landed on a Cinemark. And Cinemark is a dope-ass theater, you guys. First of all, they accept MoviePass, which is great. Second of all, when you buy your ticket, a little screen pops up, and it's like, where would you like to sit? These are the available seats. And you pick.
Oh, yeah,
it's a touch screen.
They have the big leather seats.
Then when you get in there, every fucking chair in the theater is a lazy boy with auto recline, or what's the opposite of recline? Get back up. It's got auto recline and get back up. And my only complaint about the theater itself was that most Cinemarks sell beer.
This one did not.
They're like Bobble Belt. And so I was like, okay, so no concessions for me, sir. I mean, you don't have to, but it's kind of like it's a novelty. Also, the movie I was seeing was a cartoon. I went to see Incredibles 2.
That's why Vivian went and saw it in a theater kind of near Hilton Head.
It was really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the shit out of it. It doesn't miss a beat from the original, even though when the fuck did Incredibles come out? Like 10 years ago?
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
I think it's been like 12 years.
Brad Bird, of course, got his start on The Simpsons. My review says, long-awaited sequel doesn't miss a beat. Jack-Jack was my favorite part. That and the luxury loungers at the Cinemark. All right, you going with number three?
Yeah, my third one will be number 257 from 2016, the movie Colossal.
Oh, Colossal. You just watched it.
Yeah, just now saw it.
And what do you think about it? Anne Hathaway.
I thought it was a genuinely creative concept for a film. It kind of used, you know, the kaiju
yes,
Japanese monsters into kind of this weird shoegazing kind of type movie. But
so you didn't like it?
No, I liked it just fine. It just... I felt that Hathaway's performance and Jason Sudeikis' performances were a little, tired. I didn't feel enough energy from them.
I'm interested in this. I'm going to go back and...
I really, really like the concept.
I want to know what my review was of Colossal.
I'm going to do it right now.
C-O-L... Tell me.
C-O-L-O-S-S-A-L.
Is it two L's?
No.
Colossal?
One L.
O?
S-S-A-L, I think.
Yes.
I hope you plan on editing this out.
No, this is great. This is good convo.
Yeah,
really
captivating stuff. Sorry, folks.
You. All right, I said, in essence, a kaiju film, but heavier metaphors abound. Outstanding. And that was in 2017.
Yeah.
But it was a 2016 movie.
Right.
All right.
So that's it. Movie marathon.
That wasn't too much of a pause for the search. Was it?
You did good.
Got to edit it out.
You got one more to go, right?
Yeah, I got one more. And the last one... If we're going to make me go back into my app and go to activity.
I thought you were off the hook.
I thought we were done. You said wrap up. That said wrapped up the.
Well, I didn't know if you had an extra. You said you were kind of.
No, I've got three. I've got three for show. We hot.
Hillary has whipped out a an Asian type fan.
Yeah.
And she's fanning herself.
It's a southern thing to do. It's...
You getting the vapors?
Yes.
All right, I've got one. Number 236 on my movie marathon check-ins is the 1990 cinematic version of the Margaret Atwood novel, The Handmaid's Tale.
Okay.
And it was really good. I feel like we're far enough along in the show where I could go back and watch the movie without, like, being spoiled by anything. And great. My official review was, this quote-unquote fictional dystopian future is not that far off from where we are now. There's a lot of warnings. There's a lot of prognostication and warnings of doom in this episode.
Hmm.
That might be the title. Warnings of Doom.
Warnings of Doom.
All right, so let's get back to John Waters.
Well, before we do, we have one more beer.
Uh-oh.
One more beer.
This is Founders Brewing KBS. This is their Kentucky Bourbon Stout.
Breakfast? Woo! Kentucky Riven. Breakfast Stout?
That's not breakfast.
Bourbon. Riven.
It's ale brewed with chocolate and coffee, aged in oak bourbon barrels.
My lovely wife Michelle says I'm not allowed to drink brown liquor, but this isn't the same thing.
This doesn't even look like bourbon. I mean, it's clearly
not. Why is she telling you what you can and can't drink?
Who wears the pants in this family?
She wears the
Michelle.
Yes, most death.
Like a little dress over them all the time. They're more flexible.
Well, that's tasty. That's a good batch.
So KBS.
Because they're aged in barrels, you have...
Bourbon barrel.
You have variations on this from year to year, and this is an especially good one.
It's a pretty sought-after beer, too, right?
It used to be, but I think it's pretty well available now.
Gotcha. All right, where are we at?
We're going into our second feature.
The Recast Part 2, the sequel.
Continue.
We're talking about Crybaby, which I'm way more excited about this movie than the other one.
Yes.
This movie's good. I watched it twice going into this.
I didn't get a chance to rewatch it right before the show. I've seen it in the past year, so it's still pretty fresh.
Yeah, I call it John Waters' take on Grease. It's
very much so.
It's such a fun movie.
I'm like ready to go ahead. I'll still rewatch it as the first chance I get it now because I just love it. It is. Yeah.
And it's got Iggy Pop in it, and that's enough for me.
So
I loved
the
music when I was a kid watching the
The movie itself came out in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
And it was of course directed by John Waters. This one has a 73 on Rotten Tomatoes, which further proves the point that you cannot trust the ratings on Rotten Tomatoes, because I feel like this is a superior film. To Multiple Maniacs.
Yeah, like
right?
We said, there just weren't as many reviews. I mean, Multiple Maniacs was like a midnight film. They would play it late at, the Grindhouse Theater. So
that might be something we need to do in Season 3, where we are less dependent on Rotten Tomato reviews.
This one is, these are a little bit more current. I would definitely say Hairspray and Crybaby are his, probably, even over Pink Flamingos, better movies.
Cool. All right, so we've got a scenario where it's a 1950s town.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your greasers, but they're not called greasers. They're called drapes. Mm-hmm. And they're...
Drapes.
Why do you call them drapes? Does it mean...
There's no...
It was his term that he gave it, but why?
So they're like... They're the hoods. They're the they're the greasers. They're the motorcycle people. Yeah. And then you've got the squares, which is a much more well-known term.
Yeah.
And then...
It could be a Baltimore thing. Who knows?
It is entirely possible that it's a Baltimore thing. Which, Baltimore is John Waters' home turf. And
most of his movies
take place. And he references the shit out of Baltimore. I think, actually, there's a statue of a pink flamingo in the town square.
The thing about... Waters in Baltimore, though, is he depicts a very white version of Baltimore, and it really clashes with my first-hand experience of the city of Baltimore.
The real Baltimore.
Well, I mean, so, at least in Hairspray, they go down the car.
Well, with that, yeah, that's the theme. You know? Yeah, integration's the
My biggest problem with this movie was the rebel flags that were strewn about during the Turkey Point concerts.
Well, see, I was telling you earlier, I see more rebel flags in the state of Maryland and West Virginia than I do in the South.
Hmm. Then in the South, so those people are considering themselves part of the South.
A lot of them do, even though geographically not so much.
Interesting. All right, so we've got this town, and you've got the drapes, you've got the squares, and it's basically like a star-crossed lovers situation. It's basically a Romeo and Juliet story. And our hero, Wade Crybaby Walker, mm-hmm. right? Was portrayed by Johnny Depp. He's our first role that we're going to recast. But just a rundown of the rest. We also have Amy Locaine.
You're supposed to recast him?
Yeah.
The title character.
I was wondering why.
So while she's looking that up. Also, Amy Locaine is the main squeeze, the girl. She's a square who just wants to be bad. She's so tired of being good. And she falls in love with Wade Walker. She's also been in a bit of trouble recently in the news. There was like a vehicular homicide. And she got off, but then she's now being resentenced. This is just news, people. I'm not trying to indict her myself. And then, finally,
Pepper Walker, played by Ricky Lake.
Yeah, this is the one that I'm really excited about.
Well, Ricky's real tight with John Waters.
She's going to be our honey roast in the final segment today.
Way to give away the ending.
That's a tease.
That's not a tease.
that's just giving it away, man.
That's giving it away for free.
Why buy the cow?
I know, like, it's just bottles of milk there.
I'm excited about the next one, though, the next character.
All right, so we're going...
Can we skip down to Crybaby as the last one?
Sure, we'll give you 10.
Yes. Okay. All right, so the first role that we're going to do
is... No, we have one more. You said we were going to do Wanda Woodward, played by Tracy Lords.
Yeah, you're right.
Those are the
did I not say that?
And that was actually... That was around the time that Tracy Lords made the move from adult films into mainstream. Yes.
You're right. There are four...
Yeah, John Waters was on, he took a chance by casting her because I know it was difficult for her to get legitimate roles because, a lot of people were taking that transition seriously, so.
All right, I do have her on my list, and I did recast her.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to the second one on my list, which is the role of...
Well, it's Amy Locaine playing Allison... Vernon Williams. I'm so excited about my pick. It's the best.
Go for it.
All right. So, she was, the actress was, she was young. She was, Johnny Depp was like 26, but this one, Amy Locaine was like 19-ish.
Johnny Depp was 27. She was 19.
Yeah. So, my pick is also 19.
Okay.
She was born in Paris, France.
Nice.
And she's been in a few films. I guess she's got about 7 credits. Not a lot. She was in Tusk very early on.
Oh, the Kevin Smith film?
Yeah.
One of our podcasting peers?
Exactly. She was in The Summoning in 2016. Her name is Lily Rose Depp.
Oh, that's a really good pick.
Johnny Depp's daughter.
Yeah, that's a really good pick, dude. All right, so I will go next with mine because it's kind of... It's on a similar theme. It's in the same ballpark. Her name is Ava Elizabeth Sambora, and she's the daughter of Richie Sambora and you know,
who's he with?
Heather Locklear. Heather Locklear and Richie Sambora.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, she's great, and she's also like delving into acting.
Heather Locklear allegedly tried to kill herself last week.
Are you serious?
Some friends called the police because she was acting gloom or doomy.
Her former husband, Tommy Lee,
Tommy Lee was her.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Tommy Lee was one of her husbands. Richie Sambora was one of her other husbands.
David Spade.
Really?
Don't you remember that?
No. I don't remember, but tell us more.
I don't know much more.
About how Heather Locklear dated David Spade.
Sure, Google it.
Just Google it. And then, who's next on there? Hillary, give us yours.
So, Allison Vernon-Williams. I remember her with her little Jar of Tears.
Yes, the Jar of Tears.
That was such a strange thing. Like, that's got to be salty. You know, it just didn't make sense. Anyways. She got those eyes, and I really wanted to go for that.
That's a gift. But, the picture is moving.
It is. But that's where I'm going to, like, I'm going to bang. Like, bang, she does.
And yes, I said gif.
I agree with you.
This girl is pretty close to the eyes, but she can sing. She's an actress. She's of the Nickelodeon family. But that's what I went for, were people who could actually sing. Her name is Caroline Sunshine.
Caroline Sunshine. Yes. You should have led with that.
That sounds like a John Waters.
Yeah,
she was born in 1995. So
Caroline Sunshine was born to be recast in a John Waters movie.
This was my face value pick.
Yeah.
But I think that this girl, who does some singing, but this girl is supposed to be solid.
Fantastic. Love it. All right, so can we go back to our lead?
Yeah.
Go back to our lead?
Okay.
All right.
I already told you my strategy.
All right, so we're going back to Wade Walker?
Wade Crybaby Walker.
Wade Crybaby Walker was originally portrayed by Johnny Depp, and he was only 27 at the time, playing a high school senior or dropout.
But he
whatever.
Was doing 21 Jump Street right around the same time, so...
Yeah, that's the same.
Yeah, this would have been about 6 years after Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
So, the character, he's a bad boy, he's a greaser,
with a sensitive side.
Yeah, but, like, he cries at like, any point. Like, at the drop of a hat, he will shed a tear.
That's why they call him Crybaby.
I think so. And also, he named all the girls in his crew the Crybaby girls. They all had Crybaby on the back of their jackets. Why couldn't they have had their own nicknames on the back of their jackets?
It was a different time.
Yeah. All right, so I feel like Sean wants to go first with his Crybaby.
No, I'm okay with my pick. I know this actor from his role in the recent YouTube series Cobra Kai.
Oh.
He played Hawk. He's the... his character, he does it in real life, he had a hair lip. And he took shit from it at school. He joins Cobra Kai and Johnny calls him Lip. And he just makes fun of him relentlessly. But he
ends
not
up, cool.
Is this the Karate Kid thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he leaves and he comes back with a mohawk and has an attitude shift and he's a badass and kind of really gets into the Cobra Kai kind of mentality. So, a little edgy. His name is Jacob Bertrand, and he's good. He was in Ready Player One in a supporting role. He looks super young in this picture.
He looks a little bitchy.
This is from when he was about 13.
A little bit
14.
Salty.
He's maturing, so I'm ready to put him in that role.
All right, cool. I will go with mine. I'm really happy about it. And actually, I have to give a shout out to my lovely wife, Michelle. Drink. And
we didn't drink last time. What happened to that?
We're just drinking freely. So.
Oh, wait. I'm going back. He was on 13 Reasons Why, and his name is Christian Navarro. He is 26 now. He's a year younger than Johnny Depp was. And
is he? What's he from?
From 13 Reasons Why.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was looking through my notes.
Yeah.
Good pick. I like that.
You've seen the first season of that.
Most of it, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, he's the friend who knows things. He's Hispanic, and he's also gay. In the character, that is.
Spoiler alert?
I don't think it is a spoiler. I think you're supposed to realize it, but...
I didn't know that. Thank you for spoiling.
You've seen the first season.
No, I haven't seen all of it.
You would know that. Never mind. All right. I think that he's a perfect pick. And in my audio-visual comparison...
You said it's because he's wearing a leather coat. Yes.
He's wearing a leather coat.
Dead on. All right. Okay.
What do you got? Show me what you got.
I mean, off the top of my head, I really want Steve from Stranger Things, but we throw the Stranger Things kids around and everything. Mm-hmm. So I want Harry Styles because I want people who can sing, and like, this is a musical. This is really
just stop your crying. It's time of your life.
I'm a big fan of casting Harry Styles.
Okay. No, he's the shit. I was apprehensive about casting him because he was out of a boy band.
I cast him in the Nicolas Cage episode, I think.
It turns out he's actually like a really good actor and singer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That clip from his song that they used on the Olympics commercial in South Korea was really good. It's like, just stop your crying, it's the time of your life. He sings it way better than I do, and that sounded pretty good, so.
Be humble.
What do we got?
We're up to the next roll, aren't we? Yeah.
We're up to, are we doing Pepper next?
Pepper!
All right, I want to go first.
All right.
And you might have already seen the picture. Everybody loves a show that has already come up on this episode today.
Yep.
It's not called Modern Family.
Nope.
It's called This Is Us. And she plays the teenage version of the girl actress. And
the girl actress, as opposed to the boy actress.
That girl.
She is amazing.
Her name is actually Hannah Zell. Z-E-L-L-E. Zelly?
Z-E-L-L-E.
Zella.
Zella. I don't know.
She's great.
She's fantastic.
Yeah.
When my wife and I watch this show, every time she's on camera, we're just like, that casting is amazing.
Yes.
Not only does she do
a great job on This Is Us for the different ages. Yes.
Not only does she do a great job of emulating the lead actress in her characterization, but she also gives that edgy teenage angst, bitchiness layer on top of everything. She just cuts those eyes, and it's so good.
That's what makes it so relatable, is because everybody who's watching it either is in that state or can remember being in that state.
But yeah, she's fantastic.
I don't watch that show.
Really?
Well, you don't know.
No.
You have no soul.
No, it's actually pretty good. It's the best thing
it
on CBS.
It's like a cry fest. I'm not into it.
Except for Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Jeopardy's great.
I watch Broadchurch. I don't need to cry again for like 3 years. So.
It will make you cry. Okay. All right, who's going up? Who's coming up with theirs?
I'll go with
their Pepper.
Mine's not like a shocker.
The very loyal sister.
I went Rebel Wilson. She's way out of age range.
Doesn't matter.
She is perfect.
She would be great.
John Waters movie.
Yes.
And she can sing. And Ricky Lake, as much as I love her in Hairspray and Crybaby, she wasn't that good of a singer. And when she's giving birth in the back of the car, and like Rebel Wilson could nail that and make
that's
it
why she
so
was
good.
She was the drummer in the band.
Is that why? Because she couldn't sing. I never thought about that. Okay, but that's who I went with because I think she can sing. She's funny. She's a big girl.
I love it. She's great. She's a full figured woman, and she's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. So
yes.
Rebel Wilson.
All right.
So I cast in this part someone who has been in Roger Waters' film. She was in the 2016 live Hairspray as Tracy Turnblad, which was Ricky Lake.
John Travolta.
No. Already done it. This is Maddie Baglio.
Whoa, I don't know how to say that.
Baglio? Baglio?
It's a bao bun.
It's a bao bun. It's a Korean soft bun.
It's very, very nice.
So yeah, that was my cop-out pick. I apologize.
No, don't apologize. Ever. And then our next one, we're going with the role of Allison Vernon Williams, who was our... She was our square girl, right?
We've already done her.
Oh, we did that?
No, we're moving on to Tracy Lords.
Tracy Lords. Wanda Woodward.
Wanda Woodward.
All right. Wanda Woodward is a... she's portrayed by Tracy Lords, who we should say she was a...
you don't have to say that. But she did.
We should say that she was kind of one of the first people to pioneer... the transition from being an adult film actress to a legitimate actress.
And she was the adult film actress of the mid to late 80s.
Right.
And she was really funny in this because she was like the girl whose parents didn't understand. Yeah. They really weren't terrible.
You realize that she's making a Renee Zellweger face all the way through this movie?
She's just like pouting and like pissy the whole time. But her parents seem to be somewhat supportive and not that big of a... You know, buttholes, really, if you think about it, like, you know, they get the, weird foreign exchange student at the end.
They were just being good parents, and she was like, fuck you, mom and dad.
As soon as this wasn't having it, she went out there, like, just to the edge of her suburban neighborhood and put her knee up on a, like, suitcase. And
so on that note, I will go ahead and reveal my pick. I went with a very vapid personality. I went with Bella Thorne. Bella Thorne is my. She was never an adult film star that we know of, and it seems like she would be great in this role.
So,
did I pick your pick?
I also picked Bella Thorne.
Nice.
She can sing. She was on the TV show, I believe, with Caroline Sunshine. Shake It Up. But she does. She can do the pout. She's funny. I thought, you know, yep. She can sing. She. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't remember her having to sing that much, really. But
I bet she can.
Some group singing, you know, numbers. But I think she's funny. After The Babysitter, she,
yes.
You know, she's still.
Babysitter was good.
She's still singing. So, yeah, same pick.
Shonzo.
I was really tempted to cast an adult film actress. That could
I tried, but I was like on a network. There's that it wouldn't only, be cool to look only, up those terms.
You shouldn't have to look them up. You should only, know them.
Should you?
Mia Malkova would be it. But I'm not going to cast her. I'm going to cast a legit actress that has legit roles. And no, that's not to say adult film actresses aren't legit.
They are acting.
Trust me. My actress is...
no, trust me.
My actress is 22 years old. She's from Miami, Florida. She's been in the movie Split.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she was in the movie Barry. I don't know who that was about, but...
like B-A-R-R-Y.
Yeah. But the film everyone noticed her in was The Witch.
Oh, yeah.
She played the little...
Anya Taylor-Joy. So good, dude.
She's good.
There was a participant in our professional development whose name was Anna Taylor. And I could not see her name tag without thinking of Anya Taylor-Joy.
I want to watch that movie again.
The Witch?
After seeing Hereditary,
yes.
Something about it makes me want to watch.
I think it's on Prime. I'd like to watch it again. It was a slow burn, though.
I loved it from the word go because it was...
Let's move it on.
That's it, right?
So we have done all of our recasting.
Yes.
And now is the time that we like to move it into a very a very positive fellowship vibe. Okay. A fellowship moment.
Loving vibes.
Yeah, it's gonna be real chill. It's gonna be really
it's gonna be real chill, guys.
It's gonna be positive.
Bring any girls.
Cool. Tie. So we're gonna do the honey roast. And today we're doing the honey roast of one Ricky Lake.
Yes.
And so I'll go ahead and start. Like, I never was, like, allowed to watch talk shows or things like that, but I did research a little bit, and there's an episode of Ricky Lake's show where she has Fred Phelps, the leader, I think it's Fred Phelps, one of those Phelps motherfuckers, who was the leader of the Westboro Baptist Church,
okay.
Had him on the show, and he said some shit to her, which I will not repeat on this podcast, because it's more vulgar than I'm willing to go. And she had the muscle on the crew remove him from the studio.
Get him
out. Take him out.
Nice.
Yeah. That's my honey roast of Ricky Lake.
Well, you know, the talk show was huge for her. You know, that was the era of everybody had a talk show.
She was so natural. She'd walk around barefoot.
Yeah.
For a talk show.
And didn't her weight loss happen, like, on the show? Like, wasn't that, like...
A little bit, or maybe right before?
Yeah.
I mean, she fluctuated with her children and stuff, which was what I was going
to. Well, that's natural.
Roast was going to be that I was a child, and I grew up watching these John Waters movies, Hairspray and then Crybaby, and she was always in there, and it was a beautiful thing to see a large woman being the main character, especially in Hairspray, you know? Like, she was beautiful no matter what.
So
with big hair or little hair.
In the movie Crybaby, they work into the plot that she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Was she actually pregnant?
No.
Okay.
She didn't have children until later on.
Okay. Just wondering. I don't want to ask somebody that. You should never ask that. What's the rule?
So is that your roast of her?
Honey roast.
For me as a child, she gave me a really good example of a big-bodied woman who was confident.
Full figure.
And present in movies. Like
very much so. Yeah.
You can get roles. You can be
the confidence
in that industry with a different body. Like, being different is what...
Very early, too. We're talking about, Crybaby's 1990.
Hairspray was, what did we say, 88?
Even earlier. Pretty earlier in the zeitgeist, she's presenting this this confidence of a full-figured woman. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Do we have anything to say else about Hillary? Did you were about to say something?
No, that was my honey roast. Was just that I appreciate her being there.
My roast, honey roast, is lately she's been getting into the documentary world.
Okay.
In 2014, she began working on one about the dangers of hormonal birth control. But most recently, in March, she and
wait—is that true?
I don't know.
Because I got to stop taking those hormonal birth control pills.
But anyway, the person she worked with on that documentary was Abby Epstein. And in 2018, March, they premiered at South by Southwest a documentary film, Weed the People.
Is that W-E-E-D?
Weed
the People?
The People. Examining the use of cannabis as medicine and its status as a Schedule I prohibited drug, the film focused in particular on the use of cannabis in the treatment of pediatric cancer.
There's also something that they've been researching recently about Alzheimer's and the use of medicinal cannabis, which if there's a treatment available for Alzheimer's, go for it, right?
Right.
All right, so at this point, we like to do the wrap-up, which is where I thank the producer, the engineer, the editor extraordinaire, the Canadian in your brain again, Andrew Tay.
You'll need to thank yourself because you'll be
producing this one. I'm also going to be producing that. and also, my sister from another mister. It's Hillary. Hairspray Hillary. Hairspray Hillary is in the house and was locked and loaded with the John Waters knowledge. We were hoping that Joey Poole would be here as well because he was going to be your counterpart in the educating us about the culture and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's documentaries about Divine. There are documentaries about, I believe there's one about John Waters as well.
Yeah, there's tons. I mean, you know that it's summertime, right?
Yeah, check out the Divine documentary. It's actually very interesting because it touches on the roles he played as a male.
I think it's interesting that when you look up his picture, like his Wikipedia picture, is him in like a crew cut. Like
old picture. Yeah,
that's main picture that comes up when you look for him.
Well, you know he plays a male in Hairspray.
That's what I was saying. That's how I learned what a drag queen was because my mom was explaining to me that's the same person as the mom character, and I was like, what? A man dressed up like a woman, Hillary. Like she had to break it down. I'm like, oh.
And
so much prettier as a woman.
And Divine learned it from David Lockery.
And John Waters gave Divine her name.
Yes. It was a act of divinity. And also I want to thank my co-host.
That was the best one.
My co-host, Sean the Brew Boss. We're gonna be getting really we're gonna be getting kind of intimate in the coming weeks as we embark on this new chapter. We're probably moving into season 3.
Yeah, we'll call it season 3. I will be careful.
Yeah.
We are recording.
No lambskin,
baby. Recording from what we're now terming the Chop Shop Garage.
This is the Chop Shop Garage.
And I brought our first
Oh, great. We have some John Waters
inspired.
Tell us about it.
This is a picture of Katya with her leg above her head, and it says, Yankin. Moist. Fuck off, Brenda. Eat shit. And let's vote.
And that's from the adult coloring book.
This is from, it's a Katya drag queen specific coloring book.
Very nice.
And you colored it beautifully.
And I colored it.
You did a great job. And also, like, listeners, please reach out to us on Facebook. We are Cinema Chop Shop on Facebook.com. We just reached
100 likes.
100 likes on Facebook. It's pretty cool. It only took us 1 year. 1 year to get 100 likes. And also, we're on Twitter. We are at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter, Twitter.com. And our email address, which Sean just accessed earlier. I don't know how you know the password.
No, I just did it.
Oh, okay. And our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. What do we got upcoming?
Next week is the football.
Football!
In honor of World Cup.
World Cup.
Soccer
yes.
films.
Yeah, it's all in our lives right now. And if you want to come and watch the World Cup, Seminar Brewing is a great place to do that. That's my plug. Seminarbrewing.com. You guys got plugs?
No, you stole mine.
I stole your plug. What about, what's Allie doing?
Allie is doing a restoration of a historic equestrian riding jacket.
Whoa.
Somebody in Georgetown has an estate and they're preserving... They're preserving this jacket, but Allie's also building a reconstruction of it.
That's awesome.
So they can actually have a working...
So, plug to preservation and reconstruction. And also, I saw a cool bumper sticker that said, gut fish, not houses.
Wow.
So you like...
That's a stretch. That's a bit of a stretch for a cause.
No, like you gut a fish, you don't gut a house. You preserve what you can of the original structure.
I get it. Just somebody's got like a little private war that they're waging.
Who?
don't know.
Me?
I'm just saying, whoever has that. It's a very niche.
Oh, the bumper sticker.
Yeah, very niche sticker.
Yeah. It's true. And also, thank you to you, the Cinema Chop Shoppers, all the Chop Shoppers out there. Thank you for listening. And please remember to watch, chop, retrofit.